Good morning, brothers and sisters. Hope you guys are having a good week. I'm praying for our nation, of course. I'm praying for you guys out there to be safe. Praying that God gives you the strength to endure these difficult times we're living in. My current status on me and my family is my wife is working at home, and I'm on call. I'm at home right now. Of course, getting pay. Thank God for that. There's many that are not. And I do not live in a box. I'm part of the key essential personnel. I guess that's what they're calling on key essential. Defined, of course, by the government who... It has to work out in all this mess. So keep us in y'all's prayers, and we're definitely keeping you guys and whoever's out there listening in our prayers during this pandemic. It's really have shooken or shaken, how you want to look at it, the world. And today, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to preach on Matthew 6, 19 through 21. That is Matthew 6, 19 through 21. You guys will bow with me. We'll have a few minutes of prayer here. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, thanking you for another day, Lord. Thanking you for the opportunity to speak to whoever needs to hear it out there. The words that you have written in your holy Bible, in the scriptures that you have given us to cling to and to hold on all the time, but especially in times when we're challenged, when we're facing uncertainties of the week, of the month, of the year, Lord. I pray, Lord, be with families that are maybe struggling, that may have lost their jobs because of this, or they may have not be working and not getting paid. Lord, we pray, Lord, you be over them and you protect them. You guide and direct their paths, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you just provide opportunities for your servants to go out there and to reach out to the ones that are hurting, especially during this time. But we're always supposed to be doing it, especially during this time, Lord, during this pandemic, Lord. Pray, Lord, let's be a praying people as we're home, that we're reading our Bibles and we're praying. If we have children, that we're just encouraging them in the Word of God along with the school stuff, Lord, that we actually bring prayer back into the teaching that's been removed. That we bring our Bible back into the teaching that's been removed. It's when your Holy Word is removed, and when prayer is removed, and when we turn away from you, Lord, we find ourselves not in a state that is representing of you, Lord, that is true to you, Lord. This nation was found on biblical truths, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we just honor that, and that we turn from our wicked ways, and we look toward you for all the answers, not our government, only you, Lord. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Matthew 6, 19 through 21. That's Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust both corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust both corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, we look at this little section out of this passage, and of course, if you're not familiar with a piece of this passage or this, from Matthew 5 through 7, we have called this the Sermon on the Mount. You can view this as a collection of sayings or teachings by Jesus Christ. But it starts on Matthew 5 and it ends at Matthew 7. It's one of the longest sermons recorded by Jesus Christ. He was on a mountain. The location of this mountain is not really determined specifically. Most historians believe this was on the Mount Hermos. That's E-R-E-M-O-S. And today that's located on the Galilean northwest shore between the city of Gerasarte. I think that's how you say it. It's G-E-R-R-E-S-A-R-T-E. I think that's how you say that. And Capernaum. That's between those two cities. And, you know, Jesus is here and he's on this mount. And he has opportunity, a teaching opportunity, a teaching moment. If there's teachers out there listening, you'll get that. I teach every once in a while. And you get opportunities, you know, when the preaching to teach. And when you let the Holy Spirit lead you. And he had the a teaching moment here. And we know disciples were there. And there was a crowd there. And then to hear this teaching. It was a mixed crowd. So with any crowd, we can pretty much assume, you know, you have people there that have given their life to Jesus. And those who consider it, but still not quite there. And then, of course, you have those that there that's going to call chaos and disorder in the group, and basically those are sent by Satan. So Jesus, here's the passage that we're looking at. He presents two opportunities for his audience, or two ways, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. You can lay your treasures on this earth, or you can lay your treasures in heaven. And that is, that still applies to us today. In other words, where is your heart at today? If you're right there and you're listening and doing whatever you're doing, right now, I just want to ask you, look around you. Reflect on your day today. Reflect on your week, month, and year. And think, what is the most important thing in your life right now? What you strive for every day? This assessment needs to be done. I do it daily. And I believe we should do this daily. Keeps our heart right. It can be a very painful assessment. And the first part I want to look at, are you laying, are you establishing your treasures? Our treasures, I will just say treasures, on earth. To illustrate this, let's go to Mark 10, 17 through 25. That's Mark 10, 17 through 25. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. He kneeled to him, and he asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why do thou call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." So I was actually reading from my notes. I actually didn't write all of it down, so let me go to that. 10:17 to 25. I left off at. He said, "I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, behold him, loved him, and said unto him, he loved him, "One thing thou lackest, Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure. You shall have treasure, that's plural, I mean singular, in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he said he was sad, saying that he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at these words. But Jesus answered again and said unto children, how hard is it for them that trust the riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those are not my words, guys. Those are Jesus. In this particular case, you got this guy, you know, he believes he got it all together. He's keeping the commandments, right? But he has issues. He has a heart issue. Or heart issues. You see, this guy had a lot of possessions. In turn, he was loaded. He had plenty of money. He didn't want for anything in this life, material-wise. And Jesus knew this. And when he presented to this man to sell and give it to the poor, you see, Jesus was testing him to see where his heart lays, and where his treasure is. And you know, one of my heart things that breaks my heart, you know, I believe most churches and the members in their churches they have this issue. They want all these nice things, this material stuff. They want these nice cars and trucks and boats and house and vacation, nice bank accounts, etc. And that is all they care about. I've talked to several, I'll just call them brothers. You know, I love them to death. I pray for them. Of course, their hearts are not in the right place. And they will tell you, this material stuff doesn't matter. But then you look around, you start talking to them. And you see that they're more concerned about getting their next big toy. And then you ask them, so what did you do for Jesus this week? Have you witnessed anybody to this week? And they're struggling. They can't say anything. Okay, I went to church on Sunday. You get 1 hour a week, right? Really? Is that what Jesus wants? 1 hour of your week? No, Jesus wants it all. Yeah, I get it. We have to make a living, guys. I get that. We have to support our families. I work. I support my family. Even when I go to churches and preach, I don't want to take money. I prefer them to take that money and put it into the ministry. We got to understand, though, everything that we gain in this life will not matter. You can have that nice home, and Jesus doesn't care for you to having that nice home. And you can have that nice vehicle. But if you don't do the things, reaching out to people, when you die, that nice home, you ain't taking it with you. When you die, you're not taking that car with you. Listen, guys, we're not promised tomorrow. None of us. You could go to sleep right now, and this could be your last day on this earth, and everything that you worked so hard for, that you believe you worked so hard for. And trust me, God gives us the ability to work, to make money, to buy that stuff, and of course to give to his ministry. You don't do nothing. It's all Jesus. Every step you take, every move you make, it's all Jesus. I hear people say, oh, I have this nice house, and look at my house, and look at my car, and look at this, and look at this. By the grace of God, you have that. By the grace of God, you have strength to make a living. Today's world, and the world has tripled into the church, and the church is now more worldly. They resemble the church of Satan more than the church of God. I don't say that with gladness in my heart. It grieves me, brothers and sisters. It grieves me. From work to home, we are given opportunities every day to minister at work, at home, in our community, at our local church. I know right now with this, coronavirus, it has limited. But this thing's only been around for a few months. So don't use that as an excuse. Look back, reflect back before this. Honestly, this gives us a opportunity to actually reflect back on what we've been doing for Jesus and what we've been doing for ourselves and where our treasure lays. Our lies. Where our treasure lies. We prevent ourselves from being used by God, saying we are too busy. I hear that excuse. I want to tell you, busy is not an excuse. Busy is being under Satan's yoke. You allow Satan to keep you so busy. I guarantee you, Jesus will provide you time to talk to that person. I am not saying that idly. I have experienced it on numerous times. Numerous times. I'm not one of those preachers that will tell you something and I don't do it. I don't believe that. I'm not that type of preacher. I am not a person that stays at home and tries to stay away. Well, right now, of course, we're in quarantine. We try to keep safe, right? That's just good common sense. But I'm telling you, I don't hold myself back. Even now, even with the quarantine. If the Holy Spirit leads me to talk to somebody, I will. But you got to make sure you're being led by the Holy Spirit, right? That's the key. If your mind is focused on all these treasures on this life, you have to turn away from that. You have to reflect back on what your mind is set on. Because when you're focused on all that, you're distancing yourself from the Holy Spirit, the God indirecting you. And you're no use for the kingdom of God. And when you're looking around and you're reflecting this, I hope you are. What are you doing with that nice home? Are you hoarding it for your own pleasures? You sit there and loving it so much. You're looking at your TV and all these other things. You got this nice kitchen, right? Why, you can be doing Bible studies. You can have a house church. Even this time right now, we can have house churches. You got that nice car, right? That nice truck, right? And you're showing it off and you're whoring it for yourself. And you're showing your own glory instead of using to honor God and glorify God by going on a mission trip or taking someone around to get groceries that don't have a vehicle or get medication or going to the doctor. You're hoarding that vehicle to yourself. If God has blessed you, you're making money. And you're hoarding all this money and you're throwing it into your savings account. And you're not helping ministries. You have plenty. You're not helping people that are truly representing the Bible. I ain't shy. I will not be shy. Sponsors for this ministry. I always seek somebody to sponsor and help me with this ministry because I need to get things for it to make it grow. And I know Jesus will provide the way. Sometimes the way is right there and he's telling you to do it and you ignore it. And all my contact information is on my website if you want to sponsor this ministry. I believe these type of ministries that I'm doing now are going to be rare. The closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, which we're really close, guys. If you're looking around, you say, how I glorify God with everything I have. I'm going to say, amen, brother, or amen, sister. But you look around and you're like, I don't really do this. This is a wake-up call for you. Not my words, guys. We look at Matthew 6:19-21. It tells us, lay not up for yourself treasures upon this earth where moth and rust both corrupt, and where thieves break through nor steal. And you go verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when we look at this passage, it says moth and rust both corrupt. When you look, and Jesus always used context to his audience to reach them. And when you look at moths were back in Jesus' time. You had a lot of silk and fine. The clothing a person wore showed the status. And moths would destroy that. And when Jesus speaks of rust here, rust both corrupt, he's speaking of how rust destroys. And he's speaking of, back in those days, crops were very important. And how they could easily be destroyed. And then, of course, he goes where thieves can break through nor steal. And, of course, now he's talking about stuff that people can go into a place and steal that stuff. And that's what he's talking about, these treasures. And that fits today, too. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 16:24-26 tells us, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man the profit if he has gained the whole world? If he's gained it, guys, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do not be deceived. Many are. Jesus is telling us in his own words, you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross. You have to follow me. You have to lose your life to find it. What is a man to profit? He gains all of these treasures. All these treasures on earth. But his heart is so far from Jesus. He loses his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Will he give his life, this life on earth, because of that nice house? Because of that nice car? Because of that nice boat? These are material things, guys. Oh, do not be deceived. Satan has many deceived in the church today. We are in a spiritual war, and this war has been raging for a long time. Satan is crafty. He's the father of lies. I talked to several people, and you don't want to be mean, but you try to nudge them a little bit. And they're saying, oh, this stuff don't have me, but you can clearly see it has them. Oh, well, I got to miss Sunday because I have to work. Oh, I got to miss Wednesday class. Oh, I'm too tired to read my Bible. Oh, but I need to make that big car note that I didn't really need in the first place, but I need to make my status look good so people can look at me. I want you to know, do not be deceived. First, pray. Pray hard. Just not a 5 or 10 minute prayer, but a long prayer. Truly opening your heart to Jesus. Then dig deep in the Word of God. Tear the Scriptures apart. Think of someone that is in need after that. It could be somebody that needs groceries. And you got plenty of money. Go buy them groceries. It could be a neighbor that is struggling. It could be just where they need some help on their house. It could be they're having issues paying their bills. It could be a church in your area that is struggling financially. You go and help them. If you got plenty of vehicles, and this is going to be radical, right? You got excess. Give them one of your cars. I know that probably will step on a bunch of toes. You have a nice house with a lot of room. These rooms are empty. There's plenty of homeless people out there. Go grab one up and bring them in. Oh, I'm scared. The spirit of fear has gripped this world. It has gripped Christians. They're running around saying, oh, I don't have a spirit of fear. And they're lying to themselves. And this is just one deception. Deception has been increased. It has intensified. It has trampled into the church. People are deceived. They're deceived to a point they believe they are living a Christian life. But when you point out, you look at the Bible and you look at scriptures and not my words, Jesus' words. Are you living by the word of God? Yes, you may be viewed as a radical Christian, but I'm using Jesus' words here. So he was radical. He wants us to be radical. You may ignore this messenger from God. And you can. I'm doing exactly what Jesus wants me to do. But I want to tell you, you will be held accountable for everything you do on this earth. Everything. Everything you do, you are going to be held accountable. Jesus tells us here in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, meaning there will be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, leads unto life, and few there will find it. Few will find it. Oh, this ain't thus said Jonathan. This is thus said the Lord. Wake up. He tells us there's a narrow gate. And few, when he says few, that is little bit of, will find the way. But he tells us there's a gate that is wide, and it's broad, and it leads to destruction. He said many, many will go there. Many, because their hearts are not right. Their hearts are not fixated on Jesus. Their treasures are too on this earth. They want all this nice stuff. There's a movement going around that says, oh, you can have all of that. Jesus wants you to have all of that. You can keep sinning. It's okay. You'll be all right. God understands. That is a lie. There is nowhere in Scripture where Jesus tells us sin is all right. He tells us the wages of sin is death. Is death, guys. That is spiritual death. That is horrible. That is hell. That is hell, guys. And many will go there because they don't heed the messages from God's messengers. They look at us like we're crazy. As the days of Noah, so will be it. So will be the last days. And we're in it. The good news is, if you're listening to this, you still have breath in your body. You can correct through prayer and deep prayer and reading the Bible and getting your life and priority right. We want to lay our treasures in heaven. If we look at verse 20 in Matthew 6, but lay up for yourself treasures up on heaven where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through nor steal. And of course, where your treasures is, there will be your heart. Are you laying your treasures in heaven right now? In other words, are you treasuring Jesus? Are you treasuring this world? One of the most precious treasures that you can have is being a child of God. You know, there's a story I was looking at, and it's a true story. In 1981, a Minnesota radio station reported a story about a stolen car in California. Police were staging an intense search for the vehicle and the driver, even the point of placing announcements on the local radio station to contact this thief. And on the front seat of that stolen car sat a box of crackers that, unknown to the thief, were laced with poison. And the car owner intended to use the crackers as rat bait. Now the police and the owner of the VW Bug were more interesting and apprehending the thief to save his life than to recover the car. So often we run from God, we feel that we need to escape His punishment. We're actually doing is eluding His rescue. Jesus wants to rescue you from your life, because one day this life will be up. And what will only matter is you truly have received Jesus into your life. You've allowed Him to rescue you. But you can continue running from Jesus and that pull on your heart. He wants to rescue you from eternal damnation, that is hell, in the next life. One of the most precious treasure, one of the most precious gifts, is salvation. Yes, you can go into the rewards, our crowns, but we take our crowns and cast them at His feet at the end. They don't matter. I love for Jesus. I love to be called His son and daughter. Should radiate from you. I won't tell you if you're not. I have several salvation scriptures or sermons on this website that you can go to. But I'll do a quick breakdown for you guys. God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come down here to this world for several reasons. One, to show us how to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. The other one is the original sin. If you go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve, and the original sin of disobedience to God's words, He came and they had to implement the sacrificial system. Jesus came to end that. That means right now, where you're standing, you can communicate with Jesus. You don't have to sacrifice an animal. And He had to endure the cross for this, and this horrible death. And He didn't stay on that cross. They took Him down, they laid Him in the tomb, and He rose that third day, restored, other than His nail scar hands and feet inside. That was His scars, remembrance. He went back to heaven. Of course, He was seen by the disciples, and He went back to heaven, and they're looking at Him. But He said he told them through, He will be coming back. And He didn't leave us helpless, comfortless. He sent us the Holy Spirit to live inside His true children. And that Holy Spirit that is Jesus living inside us, it guides us, it directs us to the righteous and holy path that He needs us to follow. When we're out of line, the Holy Spirit corrects us. This is the thing with a lot of people. They believe they can live in their sin. They cannot live in their sin without being chastised and convicted to the point of death. They will be so grieved in their spirit to the point they can't function. This ain't no pleasure living in your sin. That's garbage. If you're living your sin, you don't have no conviction, chastisement in your soul. You were never a child to begin with. The thing is, you did not regenerate. You may say, oh, I accept, I believe, confess. Boof. It's more than that. It's a heart thing. You must accept into your heart, truly in your heart, or receive Him truly in your heart. And this becomes the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you become born again. You become a new creature. Old has passed, new has come. That regeneration. You're old still. You're not new. You have not became a child of God. You have, and we also part of that old to new. You become a disciple. It's not automatic. You are enrolled. You also become a soldier in this world. You step out of the playground into the war, in a spiritual war. And it will cost you something, I promise you. It will cost you something. It costs the disciples. A modern day Christianity will tell you it will not cost you nothing. It will cost you something. The price of salvation was free. It is a free gift. But discipleship will cost you. It will cost you everything. But we can look and we can see, yes, it may cost. But Jesus told us it's worth it. He said one day when this life is over, or when you see, when you were in the rapture, there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears, guys. Forever and ever and ever. So wherever you have to endure in this lifetime, God will give you strength if you allow Him. Allow Him to operate in your life. You have to be regenerated though. The fruit of the Holy Spirit has to be manifest in your life. There's many people out there that are professing something they are not. The devil has them lie. The preacher is not explaining what salvation is. The full picture of salvation. This is a gift from God. This is a treasure. And once you eat this treasure, you realize this treasure. It takes your breath away. It takes your breath away. To me, that's one of the most important treasure to lay in heaven. Is I'm a child of God. And course, discipleship, that is reaching others, being the hands and feet for Jesus. Those are other treasures. Jesus sees that and He smiles. But we shouldn't be cocky about it. Don't be cocky. I always tell people there ain't nothing special about me, only that I open my heart to Jesus. I'm willing to be used by Him. If I preach a sermon that is wonderful and it motivates you, it's all Jesus. If I preach a sermon that's horrible, it probably was Jonathan trying to inject Jonathan into that sermon that made it horrible, because I would not get out of the will of God to let Him speak through me. I am human, as all pastors are human, and all evangelists are human. We're not beyond error. We can say things. And if I ever say anything that's incorrect on this MP3 or this podcast, you guys got my number. Y'all can call. Y'all got my email address. Y'all can email me. There's ways to reach out to me. One thing I don't want to do is mislead anybody. Conclusion, guys. In the end, we all have a choice to make. Are you going to place your treasures on this earth? Are you going to place your treasures in heaven? Do you treasure Jesus? Do you treasure this world? Another way to look at the world, this is Satan's world. Do you treasure Satan? I know that's going to offend people, but we have to be offended. You're going to worship Jesus, or are you going to worship Satan? Are you going to yield to God and let Jesus use you in a way that He has chosen? Are you going to yield to gaining all this material stuff in this life and lose your only soul to Satan? I am calling for us to wake up and to give it all to Jesus Christ, regardless of the cost. Because when this life is over, the only thing that's going to matter, if you are a child of God, did I yield to the will of God in my life, leading me to letting Him use me as the hands and feet to the least? Did I reach out to that neighbor in need? Did they need help with getting to town to get groceries, or paying a water bill or a light bill? Did they just need me to come over there and talk to them? Did I take all the gifts that God has given me, like to be able to make money. I'm hoarding that to myself, and I'm not giving back to others. I'm not giving it back to the ministry. I'm not helping ministries to reach the lost with my gift that God has given me to make money. Do I have that nice car? And I'm showing it off to everybody in a truck. And I'm proud. Look at me, what I have gained. And I'm not glorifying God with it. Where do you lay your treasures at, guys? Are you a child of God? Are you a child of Satan? Hope everyone that's listening, that you guys just, y'all have received Jesus Christ in your life. And to me, that's very important. The most important decision that you can make. But do not let no preacher, evangelist, Bible teacher tell you it's going to be easy. Because a good chance is it will not be. I really have one person out of 2,000 people give their life to Jesus fully and say, I have counted the cost. I am willing to pay it. As the disciples did, I'm all in. You don't hear that at these evangelistic, I'll call these evangelistic circuses. They're just trying to reap their numbers up. You can reap as much numbers as you want. If you're not preaching the gospel right from the Bible and telling people that there will be a cost to becoming a child of God, but it is worth it. Life is short. We will all die eventually or see the rapture. But where we will spend our life after is most important. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? You have a choice to make. Do you lay your treasures on this earth more than the treasures in heaven? You have a heart for Jesus. And it's not hard to figure if you have a heart for Jesus. Read the four Gospels. Ingest them four Gospels. Jesus came on this earth to give us an example how to live our life in front of that world. You read the four Gospels. And after you're done, say, well, am I doing what Jesus did when he walked this earth? Not my words. Don't take my words for it. I am a man. Read the Bible. Read the four Gospels. Does my life reflect Jesus' life in me? And yes, we will struggle. We have flesh. And that's why we have to die daily to our flesh. And we do that through prayer. And we do that reading our Bible and fellowship. We die daily. But as we say, you deny yourself. And you put Jesus in the place of everything. And you walk in this world as a light to a hopeless world in desperate need for a truth. Amen, guys. I'll leave you with these questions again. Are you laying your treasures on this earth? Are you laying your treasures in heaven? Do you treasure Jesus or do you treasure the world? If you treasure the world, you treasure Satan more than Jesus. Are you going to yield to God and let Jesus use you if you're a child of God in the way that he chose you? Are you going to yield to gaining all this material stuff in this life and lose your own soul? I love you guys. I'm praying for you guys always. Hit me up on my links on my website. You can catch me on Facebook. I post the salvation message on Facebook. Of course, I have probably 5-6 salvation messages on this website. I have a bunch more for us over with probably. Salvation is the most beautiful gift, treasure that I can think of. To know that you're a child of God is, to me, it's just beautiful. As we bow, let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, just thanking you for this opportunity to preach your gospel. And whoever is out there that may need to hear this message, if it only touches one heart, if it only touches one soul, if it just keeps one person from going to hell, Lord, I give you honor and glory. One person, that's all that matters. That was the whole point of this, is to reach people and to wake them up. Not because of me, because you laid it on my heart to reach out into this world. Even though the world may hate, as it hated you, Lord. I pray, Lord, my steps are your steps. I pray my hands are your hands. I pray my eyes are your eyes. I pray for everybody that's hurting, that may have lost their jobs. Those that may have struggling getting groceries, Lord. I lift them up to you, Lord. I pray your will be done. I pray ones that are sick, Lord. I pray that your will be done in each and every one's life, Lord. I pray for them in accordance to your will to be healed or to endure the path that they're on, Lord. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.